So, if you walk the streets of 19th century Manhattan, you are technically stepping on the carved up, hollowed out remains of a small Hudson River town.
Yeah, it's a pretty startling image. But, looking through the historical archives we gathered for you today, it is entirely literal.
Right, which brings us to our mission for this deep dive. We are tracing the story of Saugerties, New York.
Exactly. This is a town that basically spent the 1800s shipping its own ground downriver to build New York City. I mean, they left massive, gaping scars behind.
Until this, solitary sculptor decides to turn that leftover rubble into like a 6.5 acre monumental masterpiece.
Yeah, and the sheer scale of the extraction before he gets there is just wild. The big moneymaker back then was Catskill Bluestone.
Which is this incredibly dense, hard sandstone, right?
Right, exactly. So they were ripping it out of the foothills and sending it straight down to Manhattan. That is what paved the sidewalks and built all those iconic brownstone stoops. Yeah, it was the absolute economic engine of the town. We're talking about a $1.5 million industry employing around 2,000 workers at its peak.
But, it's like selling off the floorboards of your own house to build a mansion down the street. When the boom inevitably ends, what are you left standing on?
Well, usually nothing. I mean, the market moves on and you just have this gutted landscape, just spent quarries and jagged holes in the earth.
The town just completely hollows itself out.
Yeah. So the town is just sitting there with these massive scars for decades. That is, until a local theater professor and sculptor named Harvey Fite wanders in.
Right around 1938, I think.
Yep, 1938. And he wasn't even trying to save the landscape at first. He just bought a ruined quarry to get some cheap raw stone for carving.
But then something changes.
It does. Fite had recently been down in Honduras helping restore Mayan ruins. He saw how they dry-laid stone without mortar.
Oh, and that just flipped a switch for him.
Exactly. He started taking the literal waste rock, the rubble the quarrymen just threw aside, and fitting it together by hand. Over decades, he built ramps, terraces, pools, and this massive 9-ton central monolith.
Wait, I have to stop you. Zero mortar.
Zero mortar.
Because if you've ever tried to stack loose rocks in your garden, you know how unstable they are. How does one guy engineer 6 acres of loose waste rocks so perfectly?
It is pretty unbelievable.
I mean, it survives freezing New York winters and holds summer concert crowds. How?
Well, it comes down to just an insane level of discipline, gravity, and friction. Using traditional quarry tools, he painstakingly shaped the stones so their sheer weight locks them together.
That is wild.
Yeah, and because there's no rigid cement, the whole structure can actually flex and breathe with the frost heaves instead of cracking.
That is absolutely brilliant. But there is a pretty heavy tragedy to this story, too.
There is, yeah. He called the site Opus 40 because he estimated it would take him 40 years to finish it. But in year 38, he died in an accidental fall, right there on the stones he had spent half his life laying.
Oh, man. He essentially gave his life to that redemption.
He really did. And, Fite's obsession with reclaiming the quarry wasn't just an isolated event, it actually mirrored what was happening to the town's geography as a whole.
Yeah, because the whole reason the Bluestone trade even worked was the natural confluence of the Esopus Creek and the Hudson River.
Exactly. Geography always outlives the industry. And that same waterway is home to the 1869 Saugerties Lighthouse.
Which had its own boom and bust.
Right. When the industrial shipping collapsed, the Coast Guard eventually decommissioned the lighthouse. Without the constant maintenance of an active port, the river's brutal ice and tides just battered it into
It was
ruins.
completely abandoned, right? Just nearly lost to the water.
Pretty much, yeah. Until a local conservancy stepped in and bought it for exactly $1.
Best dollar ever spent, honestly.
Truly. They restored it, and today it's actually an active bed and breakfast.
Okay.
But getting there requires some serious respect for the geography.
Oh, right, the hike.
Yeah, you have to hike a half-mile nature trail that is completely tide dependent.
Meaning if the tide is high, parts of the path are just completely underwater.
Yep, you just can't cross.
Think about that shift, though. In the 1800s, the town used that river to ship out goods and completely dominate the landscape.
Yeah.
And today, you literally have to submit to the river's schedule just to take a walk to the lighthouse.
It's a really profound change in how they relate to their own environment. I think Saugerties proves that the most damaged extraction sites contain the raw material for their own redemption.
They really took the leavings of their own destruction and built their modern identity around it.
Exactly.
It makes you wonder, though. I mean, We don't mine as much physical stone these days, but we are completely obsessed with digital extraction. You know, mining data, attention, our time.
Oh, absolutely. That is a great point.
So what are the modern invisible quarries we are hollowing out today? And who will be the artists to come along and reclaim whatever rubble we leave behind?
That is definitely something to think about.
Lots of food for thought. We will catch you next time.